It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
There we go. All right, and that's how we started the second one. I didn't think about having another opening ready for this one.
Why is Gus staring at me like that?
I don't know. But Addy is like he's not attacking him, and he's not doing things that cats do when they're mad, but he's doing shit that humans do when they're mad. He's just glaring at William.
I feel like if this was a Warner Brothers cartoon, I would be turning into a chicken leg or something.
I think there's something like that going on there. Yeah,
what is wrong with you?
Check behind your seat. Did he throw a toy back there or something?
No.
Yeah, no, he wants something from you. It might be your soul, I'm not sure. hello, and welcome.
Freaking me out, Kat.
To the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. The only podcast in the world that filled out the proper forms and explicitly cannot be seen from space.
Yeah, it's about time.
I'm Tony.
And I'm William. This is episode 325.
And I'm not going to explain how the show works because this is part two. So, you should go back and listen to last week's first anyway, and then you can get an explanation.
If you're listening to this on Thursday, I'm probably watching Wonder Woman.
And happy Thanksgiving. Wait, no.
No.
Bark, bark! Wait. No, but Gus reminded me. Last week I talked about watching Carnival Magic. So, our main guy, I forget his name, it's something suitably ethnic sounding, is a mesmerism guy, and he will, and one thing he can do is he, using the power of his mind, power of his will, he can bend steel, and he does that. It's pretty cool. But then he brings up a volunteer to get him to bend steel, but he can't bend steel, but he hypnotizes him into thinking he can, and then he does. But the way he does it is he's like, no, you can't. The guy's like, he's like, can you bend the steel? And the guy's like, no, I can't. The guy's like, no, of course you can't. But you know who can? Gus can. And you're Gus. And that's how he does it. He tries to, he convinces him that he is a different person named Gus who can bend steel.
Which I'm like,
intriguingly stupid? I don't know. But they seize on the Mystery Science Theater guys, and it goes, it's a running gag about, you know, if somebody fails at something, it's like, Gus could have done that all the time. And for me, I'm laughing extra hard because there's this extra dimension
with the cat
that I'm like, my cat, William calls Gus.
You know what else we didn't talk about last week? We didn't talk about that it was the 40th anniversary of Star Wars last week.
No, we did in between episodes, though.
Yes.
So today it still is the 40th anniversary.
You know, I was reading, the Vanity Fair released some photos, the new Star Wars movie and some stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you remember this. I don't know if I said this on the podcast, but when Carrie Fisher passed away, I was kind of worried that when they'd plotted out the trilogy,
that
it would be one of those things where, okay, so the first movie is going to be heavy on Harrison Ford, and the second movie is going to be heavy on Mark Hamill, and they're really going to give Carrie Fisher her chance in the third movie, and now, of course, that she's passed away, that chance is missed. And I was worried about that. Well, in the Vanity Fair interviews, they said that's exactly what they had planned to do. Carrie was going to get her big shot, you know, her big chance in the third film. And Carrie even joked about it after they wrapped the second film. She said, oh, now you better make sure you give me something good to do in the third film because, you know, Harrison got his movie and Mark got his movie. And they joked about how, oh, yeah, don't worry. You're going to be the main person in the third film. So I was very sad to see my worst fears confirmed there.
Yeah.
And I find that very sad. So, of course, they're having to really do a lot of work on the third film now. Obviously.
Well, and they've already said they're not gonna do
like CGI stuff.
Yeah.
Well, and part of
that, they don't have to do that for 8 because she did all her filming for 8.
You're right. Now, the reason they're not doing it for the 9th film is just because they just think it would be dumb and it's disrespectful.
Yeah. Well, they're claiming they also hadn't planned to, but the only reason we know about this is because the internet collectively was like, "You motherfuckers, don't do that." And so they were like, "Dudes, chill."
Well, here's the thing though too is, they probably couldn't do it even if they wanted to. What they had in Peter Cushing's case, in reproducing him for Rogue One, was about the time he made Star Wars, he did another film where a plaster mask was made of his face. Mm. And that helped immensely in their animating. In fact, that's why a lot of people who saw the young Carrie Fisher in the film, it didn't quite look as good.
Me, especially.
Yeah, it didn't quite look as good because they didn't have that mask.
I was really shocked at how good Peter Cushing's was and how not Carrie Fisher was.
Again, it was all about the mask, I think. Mm. So, and they never, of course, took a mask of Carrie Fisher's face because they didn't know this was going to happen, for one thing. So I don't think they could have done it if they wanted to.
It's kind of a shame that they had that, because otherwise they would have probably had to put him together from footage from the Pink Panther movies. So then we probably would have had Governor Clouseau.
I have a feeling...
Wouldn't that have been amazing?
I have a feeling without that mask, they just wouldn't have done it. They would have thought, we can't do this. You know, we don't have the technology. But, I mean, that's just what you need is something like that to do it. And so anyway, yeah, they said, someone asked about the plot, and they said, well, we're not really changing anything about that. Like, all the other stuff that happens to all the other characters will happen. We just have to figure out a way to tell the story with this character missing. And it's like, that is so sad. And I have a feeling when I watch the film in December that she's, you know, still going to be in, that every scene I see her in is probably going to make me bawl.
I feel like that, yeah.
So, it's just so sad. But I am looking forward to that, to the movie. And, but not more than I'm looking forward to Wonder Woman, which, if you're listening to this on Thursday, I'm probably watching right now.
But wait, by now, haven't you already seen The Mummy?
No, Mummy's the week.
Oh, I got it. I thought it was this coming. What is this week? It's fucking Memorial Day weekend. Something big has to come out, doesn't it?
Well, isn't Pirates the big Memorial Day movie?
Maybe. I have not paid a single bit of attention to that. I haven't paid a bit of attention to that since we finished watching the second one.
I mean, there are a lot of films that are going to be out for Memorial Day weekend, but I think the block, quote-unquote, blockbuster is supposed to be Pirates, I think. Right. I think. Which, that will have been last weekend while people are listening to this.
Yes. I gotta admit, the first episode of Agents of Jekyll looks kind of interesting in the trailers.
We look forward to seeing it. I don't know if it's going to be any good, but maybe, I don't know.
I don't know that I'll go see it, but... Because I don't want to get into this. The whole premise... I'm opposed to the whole premise, and I know my susceptibility to these things. I don't want to get hooked into another cinematic universe.
Okay, well...
If you were like, it's super awesome, then I might do it. Because it looks cool.
Well, I'll let you know. If I see it and we like it, I'll let you know, but... Yeah. We're going to go see it. My wife's very excited about it, actually. So we'll definitely.
You didn't say in last week, how's American Gods going?
I don't know because I haven't seen any episodes since the last time I talked to you.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, I haven't. We haven't.
Work on that and let me know as soon as the season's done because I don't think it's very long. It's probably like 8 episodes or something.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And as soon as it's done, I think Amazon will sell it to me.
Okay.
And I've been very curious about that.
It's...
We're mostly caught up with this season of Fargo. Which is Alright, but yeah, I don't think we got a lot going on. I will have been at my in-laws for a 3-day weekend.
Oh, okay. I don't even know. I mean, what I will have done for Memorial Day. I mean, Dad sometimes has... But this is the first Memorial Day where he's married...
Yeah, so it's anyone's game.
Yeah, he might have other plans, I have no idea.
We tend to, when there is a 3-day weekend, and we don't specifically have some trip planned or whatever, we go there because we can.
It's not that far away.
Yeah. And it makes a big difference in time, both because just a single weekend, you drive a few hours just to spend like that little 36 hours with
right,
him or whatever.
Right, right.
But also, some of the family is very involved in their church, and so based on when we leave frequently, we just sort of don't see them Sunday. Like, by the time they're free, we're going to head home. And this way, you know, we can still see them Sunday afternoon and evening, and then we got Monday. And, you know.
One thing we might do, it's a big might, so the weekend following this, if someone asks me, I can fill you in whether we did it. No, we did it. But my wife's grandmother passed away 2 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
The house that she lived in on Clear Lake, I mean, it's going to be a week ago now, but just when as we're talking, it's just been a couple days ago that home has been leveled. It's been destroyed. And also, her grandmother only just like 2 or 3 weeks ago was interred. Her ashes were interred because she was cremated, and then her ashes were just sitting on a shelf somewhere. But her daughter finally was able to figure out a way to inter her with in her husband's plot, because she wasn't sure she could do that before for a variety of reasons that I won't get into. But so all this stuff has happened. Her grandmother's finally been buried somewhere. The house has been destroyed. I think my wife is feeling like, you know what, it'd be nice to go up to Clear Lake, visit, you know, grandma's grave, and, you know, see where the house used to be, and, you know, just kind of pay some last respects. Because it's hard to say when we'll ever, what reason will we ever have to go up there again, because usually when we went to Clear Lake, we stayed at that house, you know, and now it's gone, and that whole, you know, the whole lot is owned by somebody else, of course, now. So, yeah, maybe we'll never go back. So if my dad doesn't have any plans, or we don't do something like that, maybe we'll go up there and either for a day trip or we'll stay at a hotel there. I don't know. Maybe we'll do that. You know, actually visiting a cemetery or doing Memorial Day type stuff has always been a kind of a thing for us and for my family. So I remember when I was a kid, I probably talked about this. We used to go out to the cemeteries on Memorial Day, and the VFW would have some guys go out and do a 21-gun salute for all the veterans or whatever, and then all the kids would run and pick up all of the spent shells, you know, and you'd take them home. I had I was one of those kids that had like a little box, like a tackle box full of mementos and stuff, and there's some spent shells in there and stuff.
Weirdly, I've never really done any Memorial Day stuff, except when I wasn't in the country, where it's called Armistice Day internationally.
Yeah.
And, you know, I am confident that the television airs something in which the sitting president, if not whoever we can get, does something.
Mm.
I'm sure that's a thing. I never watched it. I have never watched it. When I'm in the UK, first of all, there's only 5 television channels, so I don't have much choice. But the Queen does a whole thing, and she gives a speech, and she lays it. And so I do remember watching that. And I don't know. Because it was a different country's tradition, somehow it felt more interesting, maybe. I don't know. It just has never come up for me before, except that time.
Yep, we used to go to the cemetery.
To the degree that I'm one of those people who I'm like, is this one Labor Day or Memorial Day? I still do that sometimes. I say one of these people. Literally everyone is listening going, what the hell is that? No, that's not a thing. That's just you, dumbass.
So, yeah, there's that. Is that it? Are we done talking about stuff now? Already?
We got a lot of time left, so.
We do?
Probably need to draw things out.
I guess we'll draw things out of the hat.
I know, my name is William, and I like to draw things out of the hat.
This is from Azure. Wait for it! Talon. My dudes! Wouldn't it be a better show?
Spell that.
M-Y-D-U-D-E-S.
So it's my dudes.
My dudes!
M-apostrophe dudes.
Wouldn't it be a better show if Jamie Foxx, not Jamie Farr, but Jamie Foxx hosted Can You Beat Kazam? Ha ha. just Genie Garb Shack having spelling bees and eating contests.
Oh, God damn it.
Wow.
Yes.
That would be a good show.
Yes. As much as it pains me to admit it, Azure Talent, that would be a way better show.
Well played, Mr. Talon. Well played.
Can you beat Kazam?
That would be good. Just little challenges, like, okay, it's going to be a spelling bee, Shaq, and he'd be, oh, man, I don't know about that.
And the whole time
that.
He has to wear the outfit, though.
Yeah, right.
I don't think I told you this. So I told Trish a few days later, I was like, there's a game show coming out whose name and whose premise is the same thing. Can you beat Shazam? And you know what she said? The superhero or the ATM?
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought at first, too.
But she has the app on her phone and uses it regularly. Mostly if we go out to eat at a fast food place and we're like, what is this song? But it cracked me up. I was like, both of those would be more interesting shows.
Yep.
I would love to see people try and break into an ATM as part of a game show. Or maybe just Gomer Pyle standing there going, Shazam!
That was a pretty bold thing for him to write in about. I mean, it could have been months. It could have been months before we pulled that question. Do you think it still would have been funny, I guess.
It still happened. I don't know that it would have been... I think it might have taken us a minute. But... That is, I like that idea.
Good one.
Why are you sneezing up there?
Maybe she doesn't feel very well.
No, she's been eating. I think she's okay. Now, actually, 2 points I do want to bring up regarding Kazam himself. One, don't be too sure. Technically, he has a PhD.
Shaq does.
Yes.
Oh.
He, Dr. Shaquille O'Neal. I forget what it's in. It might be like business management or something.
Right, but still doesn't mean he can spell very well.
I know. I'm just saying, though, let's not discount him necessarily.
I'm not discounting him because...
And two, one of those things that everybody remembers... You know those things that everybody remembers from, like, movies and stuff that didn't ever happen?
Okay.
Like, well, like, Darth Vader never said, Luke, I am your father.
No, he just said, no, I am your
father. Yeah, exactly. Humphrey Bogart never said, play it again, Sam.
That's right, he never said that.
In the original Star Trek, they never technically said, beam me up, Scotty. I think they said it in a later movie as a reference to knowing that, but there are bigger versions of this.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone in the world, including me until I read about it, thinks Sinbad was in a movie where he played a genie. And he was not.
Oh, I didn't know that. He was or wasn't.
Yeah, no. And the only thing people can think of is it's some sort of racist conflation because of Kazam.
Oh.
And also his name is Sinbad, which, you know, Sinbad and Seven Seas and there's genies and that and stuff. But, like, no, to the degree that he did, like, a fake photo shoot as a joke for it. So, yeah, Sinbad was never a genie. And, yeah, all those other terrible things we just told you about. Never said play it again, Sam.
Spelling beads are hard.
But.
For everybody.
In The Young Pope, PhDs. Jude Law did in fact say, I am the young pope at one point. So, there you go.
Okay, what'd you draw?
Spelling beads. Oh, I very seldom have I done spelling beads. And I'm a good speller. But those things are just inherently built as just stress monsters.
This is what I'm saying. So when I suggested Shaq would have a problem with it, it was just because spelling bees are hard. It's not because of Shaq.
No, nobody thought you were being that. I'm just saying in general. Everybody's like, yeah, Kazam. Like, whatever. Like, dude, he's technically Dr. Genie Kazam. No, there have been... I can think of at least 3 documentaries about how fucked up and difficult spelling.
Yeah. Before.
When you have that many and nobody's actually getting shot in whatever it is you're talking about, that is a fucked up situation. And, or sports. Oh! This is an incredible follow-up to a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
When have you compromised your sense of honor?
Oh, compromised it.
This morning.
This morning.
Well, Okay. Disclaimer, we got to back up for people who aren't listening consecutively, as you should. We don't really have a sense of honor. We discuss this. We don't really understand the concept. Whatever. What we eventually sat on is that we both have a guiding principle that could roughly be translated into the Golden Rule.
Sure. Ethical, moral code, yes, kind of thing.
I broke that this morning. We were picking something up from Panera, or Trish was, rather. I dropped her off, drove around the parking lot, come back, and she's coming out, and so I pull up to the thing, and in my defense, the starter off is perfectly innocent. I pull up so she can get there. She had a very big bag, so she opened the back seat, and she puts that in, and then I had to come around to get in the car. During this, fairly early on in this, a car comes along and wants to get by us, but I have positioned myself in just such a way that I'm, like, in the middle of the two-lane space, so nobody can get by. And another car behind him, and I was like, I should move, I should move. Now it's just going to be another second. And as I left, I felt super guilty. I was, and I'll tell you why. Because if I'm in his position, I think that guy's an asshole. And it's not just about I don't like him thinking I'm an asshole, but I think that guy's an asshole, and potentially it fucks up my whole mood for the morning. That is absolutely a thing that can happen. It doesn't necessarily happen often. I'm not saying it happened here. Nobody honked. Nobody looked pissed. But I'm like, that guy's whole morning is now, could now be focused on this one asshole, and that guy was me. And he's not wrong. It's not like, My wife was in labor, and we had, like, no, I'm just an asshole. And so, yeah. For me, I break that rule a lot. I try not to, but I break it a lot. And that part's not the weird part to me. But very often, I very consciously do it. And it's always, like, small things or whatever. But, I mean, like, you know, oh, I should put that away. I should do that thing for Trish. I don't feel like it. I'm too lazy to get up. It takes too much work. And I don't. And I'm like, I'm kind of being a dick. And I feel bad about that. But I still go.
I think probably the last time it happened for me was probably also in traffic. I don't remember it, but it does happen quite often in traffic where I'll be like, oh, man, I hate when someone does that to me. Now I feel really bad that I did that to somebody else.
And that's the very thing that caused me to no longer really have road rage makes this worse. Because, and I think I've talked about it before, I generally don't get mad at people on the road anymore. And the reason is, virtually never do I see anything that I haven't done. But generally when I've done it, there's been a reason for it, you know? And so I tell myself, if I had a reason that I thought was justified at that time, they probably do too. Or in some cases, like, I remember when I did that, it was a dumb mistake.
Yeah, right.
It's probably a dumb mistake for them. Right. That's fine. And in the rare situation where it's like, Jesus Christ, I would never do that, I don't get mad at them. I'm mostly worried for their safety and their mental state.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm like, dude, that is just fucked up. But consequently, when I do something that in any way gets in anybody else's way or causes somebody to honk or whatever, I think, and I'm like, oh shit, they think I'm a jerk. Like, they don't know.
Yeah.
They're probably not doing the thing I do now where I try and do that.
Yeah, right.
Which in itself is somewhat condescending. They're not as enlightened as me, so it's probably really pissed them off.
Well, or it might be, there are times where I'll, you know, catch myself being inconsiderate to my wife, you know, and I'll say, oh man, you know, I should.
Well, that's the easiest one to do. Familiarity breeds contempt.
Yeah, I'll say.
Taking your cohabitator, especially when it's your.
Sure,
love,
sure. Like something, for granted, something like, you know, like I work from home. So I might, you know, I'll usually wait to have breakfast to, like, say after she's gone or whatever. And sometimes I'll eat breakfast and I'll just leave the dishes there with the intention to have it clear before she gets home for lunch, and I'll forget. You know, it's like, oh, I'm so sorry, I shouldn't have done that. So maybe that's happened more recently than a traffic thing. But yeah, it's a lot of, it's probably something that related to, you know, home or in traffic. In general, in my life, if you ask me, you know, like, but when's the worst time something like that happened? It probably is when I lost my temper with somebody and said something that I, you know, didn't even really mean.
Yeah. Those are, and that can be so that one thing, and that's the thing that makes me cringe in every piece of media too, is when you get that thing, and sometimes it's played for laughs, but that, like, you hear the line and everything goes dead quiet and you're like, that's the line. That's the line that, like, ended that relationship, or that's the line that made me switch whose side I'm on.
Yeah, right.
Like that
right.
kind of thing. And in real life, it usually takes me a while. Like, I'll say something like that and it'll frequently have a terrible reaction, and I'll be aware. I'm like, that was the bad time to do that. And it's only much later that I'm like, I don't even know why I said that.
Yeah, right.
And it's that, like, was awful.
Yeah, it's not even, I don't even mean that.
But hopefully I have a chance to get away, because if I'm still fighting when that happens, like, there's still the part of me that's, like, revved up, so I'm not willing to go, hold on for just a second. In retrospect, you're totally right. Holy shit, I'm sorry.
Yeah, like, yeah, right.
It's
right.
hard to do that in the moment of an argument.
Yeah.
Trish and I had a doozy, like, the other weekend. Like a big one. Like, one that went for multiple days, and one that had everybody crying at certain points, and is like, you know, that, like, this is going to change our relationship. And it did. I think it changed in good ways, but it was like, you know, there was a lot of stuff to do with it.
Yep.
But, and it was very much in this kind of thing of sort of, you know, treating the other one unfairly and not being aware. We were both sort of focused on our sides of things.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew it was bad because Trish and I both, I have observed, have a tendency, if our spouse is emotionally unstable, if our spouse is crying, if our spouse is freaking out, panicking, just even depressed, that frequently will trigger the other one to an opposite state of where they will try and be happy and try and care for that other person and try and solve that other person's problems and be supportive and all that. So, like, if I'm in kind of a bad mood and then Trish just has the shittiest day ever, I'm in a better mood suddenly because I'm like, oh, I gotta worry about her. And we both do that, which is very convenient because it's like, okay, whose time is it to have the nervous breakdown? But that was the thing. During this fight, we hit a point where, like, we're both crying. I'm like, oh, shit. There's, like, nobody to look after us. We're both a mess.
Yep. That's how it works sometimes.
The saying is, well, God. This one, and I can say this one because, well, and I hope so. It was so minor, but this is a terrible one to say. I was in high school. I really want to start with that.
Okay.
Just
for perspective.
Yes. In class, I believe. Technically, I think it was like school newspaper class, so it wasn't like a real class, but we were in class. I slapped a female classmate.
Oh, wow.
During an argument.
Wow.
I know, right? And that's the thing. Even at the time, and I said, it was very small. It was as is often the very few times in my life where I have encountered physical violence from other people, it's like this too, where, like, the actual pain was almost nothing.
Right, sure.
Just the act.
Yeah,
and
right.
I mean, it was a very, very light. It was very almost symbolic, but it was out of real life. Like, we were arguing about something, and I was just so pissed off that I did that. And even at the time, she, like, everybody just started talking. And, like, nobody was even mad. They were just shocked. And it took me hours, but then, like, from a few hours after that argument until right now, I'm like, what the fuck? What happened?
Yeah, right.
How is that a thing?
And where was I when this happened?
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, how is that? And I don't even, yeah, I still don't even get it. And that does, and she and I remained friends, and, you know, she was just like, what? Did that really?
Yeah, I know.
In fact, actually, there was a time in sixth grade where a girl punched me like 12 times and it really hurt, so I punched her back once and it didn't hurt her, and she laughed at me a lot, and she was really surprised because she's like, you really tried to hit there, didn't you? She was much stronger than me. But that was a whole different thing. No, seriously, there's a whole story tied into that. It's a beautiful story of friendship and a terrible teacher.
Okay.
But it's for another time. But it's like that. Like, I was just like, what just happened?
Yep, I've had experiences,
and
like
I've had
that.
Vocal versions of that.
Yes, right. I know exactly what you mean. You don't even know why you're doing this thing or saying this thing. Obviously, some emotion is just completely taken over.
It is handy though, because it's one of those that, like, your brain knows. So, like I said, sometimes it can take me an hour or two, but, like, there's not a lot of sitting around debating the ethics.
Right.
It's like, no. that was bad.
Yep.
Like, that, you should not have done that. You should not have done that. Because there are things that's like, you should not have done that the way you did that. And then there's ones that's like, none of what just happened should ever have been anywhere.
Right, right, right.
And I mean, I try and work with those. I don't know. I like to think that I'm very big on, you know, I find out that I've been an asshole or that I'm doing this or that I'm, you know, and I'm like, oh, and I learn from it.
Sure.
And I try and do better.
That's all any of us can do.
But I don't know that it works. I mean, and this bugs me but I know there are people who are not like that. Who when they finally realize they're in the wrong or whatever, they just get really mad at themselves and really depressed about it.
Mm.
And they're like, I'm sorry, I don't know what I can do to make up. And I'm like, just try and not do that again.
Yeah,
That's a hard concept. And I tend to be big. In my apologies, I'm like, this is something I have to deal with. I will try and do better in the future. But I have noticed there's a few things that I'm just like, I have said I'm sorry for doing that and I'll try better in the future dozens of times. So maybe I'm not trying the right way. In mine, it frequently ties back to temper issues when my voice gets raised or something like that. And some of that is, as I've mentioned before, my volume tends to increase with my enthusiasm.
Sure.
And that may be anger. That also may be excitement.
Sure.
Or just joy. But it does that. And so I can be shouting at people and not know it. But I also have a temper. And I'm medicated. It's a lot better than it was. I get it from my father. And it still comes up. I was talking about this with Trish the other day. My father used to explain to me when I was younger how he has a great deal of difficulty not intimidating people physically because he's a very big guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really get it. I kind of did. But now I'm older. I'm a very big guy. And it's true. And it's a constant thing.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be very, things that are totally normal for somebody that would be of a smaller stature look very menacing.
Oh, yeah, right.
But the flip side of this is, conscious or not, I also learned growing up that if I want to get something done, leaning in slightly and raising my voice can be effective. Or, you know, if we want to get something fixed at the restaurant, maybe I'm the person who should complain because I'm the biggest, scariest-seeming one here.
Mm.
That doesn't mean I'm a jerk about it, but I mean, I know it is a tool I can use.
Sure.
And even if I know I shouldn't, it's there. And I think that just gets internalized. And so it's not conscious, but if I want something and I am in disagreement with somebody over it, I can raise my voice. I can, you know, do things that I'm probably totally not aware of that lend to that effect. Because part of my brain is like, dude, you have that move.
Sure. The card's in your hand, so you can play it.
And so that's one, and that's one that, I mean, I work on. I tried there many times where I very consciously, I'm like, don't do that or whatever. And yet, I had to do it just yesterday again.
Right, but
I had to apologize. Just yesterday, Tuesday, I did it with my gaming group.
That is, but maybe you working on it doesn't mean it stops happening. It just stops happening as often.
Well, which I hope is the case.
Yeah.
I don't know. It has been a while since I got crazy with my gaming group. I attribute to that the fact that I'm not GMing this one.
Right, sure.
But who knows? But yeah, I work on that. But yeah, I'm always breaking my code of honor. Jackass, like.
Well, I think I do too. We all do. I mean, nobody's perfect.
What do you think of the word jackass?
I don't know. It's like,
where do you rate it on the not appropriate to say in front of children or your mom or whatever scale?
Well, but my skill.
No, you know what I mean. I mean, in general, there's like, you know, you could say damn maybe in front of parents, but nobody would say the F word. Like, where do you rank it in terms of badness of words?
Probably not even there. I mean, because, you know, when I was growing up, that you would call a donkey a jackass or whatever. I mean, that's just what it was called. So that's not, that probably doesn't even qualify.
I get a lot of flack for jackass. Although
it's not a nice thing. It's not a nice thing to call people.
Oh yeah, no, and I never mean it nicely.
Right. So.
But to me, that's the nice one instead of like motherfucker.
Well, but.
Or shitcock, which is becoming one. I don't know what that's
just
about.
In general, it not Kickness. Being something you want. Like, I wouldn't say it in front of a kid in the same way I might try to avoid calling someone stupid in front of a kid, even though I don't think it's inappropriate. I don't want the kid to, you know, be doing that.
And I'll admit, I use it only in situations where I genuinely think it's warranted. But I get some flack, and I think it's because of the ass part of it.
Probably.
And that's what cracks me up. I've also had people who took issue with crap, and yet other people who, in general, were far more strict about swearing, using crap all the time.
Sure. Like, yeah.
Like, it's the line that people draw with that.
Right.
Crazy. But no, Jackass is one of the ones that comes to me. It's very hard for me to stop saying.
But I mean, the ass part of it means, I mean, it specifically means donkey.
Yeah,
it doesn't mean your backside or whatever. So that's a little weird, but.
Yeah.
But like you said, everyone has their own rules about such things.
And did I say that? I didn't mean to.
No real accounting for it.
Have you got it?
It's right here.
Do a thing.
Do a thing.
I'm getting a little tired. Let's do some questions.
Another one from Coffee says,
need some coffee to sober me up.
What tribal traditions and rituals do you continue for yourself and your family?
This tattoo.
You don't have a tattoo there.
No.
Do you have a tattoo anywhere?
Not yet.
Are you working on that? Or?
Not actively. Okay. I know. I have finally come to the terms with wanting a tattoo.
Yeah, we
for
did.
For many
talk about
years
this,
in it.
Right.
And I have now come to terms with essentially knowing what that tattoo is going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where I'm going to put it or who I'm going to have do it.
Okay.
Or when I'm going to have them do it.
My family doesn't have very many traditions, as I've probably mentioned. We sometimes will do something for a long time, and then it will then eventually stop doing it. So, outside of just getting together, like, we try to get together for birthdays and, you know, Christmas and Thanksgiving. You know, aside from very specific times we like to get together, there's not any specific thing we do. People have heard me enough talk about how human beings are tribal, and we belong to tribes whether we want to think so or not, and there are rituals and things associated with that, but sometimes it's not easy to figure out exactly what those rituals are. Maybe some rituals are not very specific or, you know, very very well defined, you know, they're more loosely defined or whatever, but so yeah, I don't really know. I mean, in a way, we have a tribe, you know, you and me and our listeners.
And
we have the ritual of coming together and doing this. And there's a ritual in how we do it, like you explain how the show works.
Yeah, no, there's definite. But keep in mind, the key word, at least to me here, is tribal.
Okay.
Because I'm realizing recently, I know humans are inherently tribal.
Sure.
And I am susceptible to that, same as anybody else. I am one of the least tribal people I know.
Yeah, we've talked about that.
I guess I didn't really understand. I'm super non-intuitive. To the degree that, like, yeah, my family didn't have this stuff very much. Generally speaking, I found this from my in-laws, too. Traditions are as strong as whoever's going to yell about them. Like
Yeah.
There are traditions that people are like, no, we have to do this. It's a tradition. And then when you talk to the other people involved, they're like, well, we do it a lot, but we've skipped it in other years. But like that year, they really were.
I know what we've got. That we don't have rituals, but we do have the equivalent of myths. We have stories. Stories about the family. Stories that we'll tell over and over and over again about, oh, you remember that time so-and-so did this? Like, every Thanksgiving, we might tell the same story.
You should film them and have kids recite them.
Right. Yeah, like, those guys do with their website. But, yeah, there's, if I really paid attention.
That was the most old person answer.
Over the course of a year, if I really paid attention to the stories that are told, like, around this person's birthday, or around that person's birthday, or around Christmas, I'd probably be able to collect all the stories that we tell over and over again, and the general occasions that we tell them. And that would definitely qualify as specific stories and rituals.
We do that, too, in my
for our tribe.
Both in my original family and my in-laws. We do that. And it's funny because I'm always very aware that even I tell the same stories, and like they act like it's new every time.
Yeah, because that's part of it. You know, it's part of the ritual. If someone's going to tell this story,
And every once in a while I'll be like, I may have told you guys this before, and they act like I haven't. I'm like, I know for a fact I've told this at least three times before.
You know, that's kind of thing.
Well, and I always associate it with really, really old people, because the really old people do it because they genuinely don't remember.
That's right. That's right.
But it fits the younger ones. We do it too.
People like to hear certain stories over and over again. They like to hear certain people tell them too. I'm not actually the storyteller in my family. That goes to the youngest brother. For whatever reason, he tells stories better than anybody else about the family. Mm-hmm. Now, if it's some public thing, like my dad's wedding reception, and it's time for someone to go up and speak for the family, that's me.
Yeah.
And I might tell stories about the family, but, you know, and I think I'm considered the one that tells stories about the family better to strangers. But my youngest brother's the one that tells the story best to everybody in the family, right? Yeah. So that's, which is kind of weird when I think about it.
I don't think we've ever figured out who it does, but now that I think about it, it's just super in there with my whole family.
I wouldn't be surprised if... I mean, your mom's pretty good at it. Your mom's pretty good telling stories.
Both my parents do pretty well.
Okay.
My mom does well. My mom's side of the family does a lot of stories. But my dad does a lot too. And my dad, I think I get my storytelling from my mom. I think I get my love of stories from my dad.
Mm.
My dad really likes stories. My dad always wants to he wants to do a memoir basically. And he's done a fair bit on it, but he can't get that. And I totally understand that he can't get sort of the rhythm going or whatever, but he really loves the idea.
Well, storytelling is a big deal in my family, but I'm not sure where it came from. It probably came, like I've often said, the first thing I can remember really caring about and like being a fan of when I was a kid was conversation, like between adults, and all the stuff involved in that, from talking about something that actually happened in a way where you're trying to convey actual information to talking about something that actually happened in a way where you're just trying to entertain someone, very different. Telling a joke, telling an analogy or a parable, you know, all the little things people do when they're just sitting around having a conversation. And it seems like it must have been my dad who would sometimes talk about work. He'd come home and he'd say, oh, this funny thing happened at work, and he'd tell us about it. Or he'd tell us a joke he heard at work, or he'd tell us, or we'd go to visit friends of the family, and I would just sit there listening to the adults talk and hear what they would talk about and just be fascinated by, like I said, how it was different when my dad was trying to tell someone something that to actually convey factual information versus telling something that was still a true story, but he meant for it to be entertaining
funny.
How different that was, right?
I've always loved stories, but in recent years I've gotten very conscious of my love of stories conceptually. I don't even mean like of reading stories or hearing the concept of narrative.
Yeah, right.
And I think in some ways it's how I'm coping with the destabilizing of the political climate. Is we're in a post-truth world now, so even if there are things that, like, I believe this to be true, I believe this to be false, I look at a lot of things now through the lens of narrative devices.
Mm-hmm.
So, this story, which may be true, maybe not, whatever, the story here, what are you telling? Why might you be telling it? Mm-hmm. Why are you telling it in that way?
Right.
Because I don't know that I've brought this up.
And what audience do you think you're talking to?
Yeah.
Yeah, all of that.
I don't know that I brought this up, but we talked a while back that I'm now looking at foxnews.com and cnn.com.
Yeah, you did bring it up.
At least once a day.
Yeah.
Yeah, we brought that up. CNN sucks.
Well, what do you mean?
CNN's news is way worse than Fox News' news in terms of the written stuff.
Oh, okay.
And it's really hard for me to say that because I'm totally on CNN's side. And generally speaking, every horrifically biased opinion CNN has, I largely agree with.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the times when Fox News is giving an opinion, I often don't agree with them.
Right.
But they just, on every level, just do more actual news. Like, they tell me a story and they tell me things that happen. And CNN is full of either an obviously particular spin on it, or they love doing what ifs. Most of their articles are like, well, now that this thing happened that we're not really going to talk about, what could that mean for the future? Like, their whole news section is that.
Yeah.
And it's so annoying to me. Like, there are so many places where I'm like, I feel like CNN is telling more of the truth, but I feel like they're doing that on accident. And also, because of they're so biased, it makes me stop and go, oh my God, how much do I agree with them? Like, it's making me uncomfortable agreeing with them because the stuff is just written so obviously, painfully biased.
One news source I also look at is the PBS NewsHour.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I really like about watching them is it feels like the news back when I watched it when I was a kid, where, you know, the people who were delivering the news were doing it in a calm, measured way.
Reporting.
Like, yeah, this is the news. And then they said, now we're going to talk to these two people who represent two sides, yep, of the thing. And so they're the two people. They're not yelling each other. Sometimes they're even agreeing with each other. But all they're doing is giving, well, yeah, this is my side and this is my side. And then that's it. And there's no drama. It's just like, wow, this is like news used to be all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't just use them for a news source for a variety of other reasons, but I do have to say, out of all the news sources that I take in because I want to, you know, check biases and bubbles and things like that, mm-hmm, they're the most even-keeled, the most balanced. I don't know if I could speak to their bias or not bias, but it's like, it just seems like the news used to be, which, so a lot of times, if I'm looking at all these other news sources and I'm feeling like I'm not really getting the real story, everyone's spinning it and I don't know, yeah, who's telling me the truth, I'll be very happy if I see a PBS NewsHour one, because it's like, okay, these guys are probably going to report only what they know and not stuff they're going to speculate, yeah, on. It's probably going to be, you know, they're going to leave out some facts editorial-wise and maybe in a biased way, but I'll probably get what facts I hear are probably really facts, and they'll probably have a couple people with differing viewpoints to actually weigh the two,
yeah,
at least two ways or three ways and of looking at it.
Don't get me wrong. Both of these news, I think the video content, I have no idea, but I get the distinct feeling that it's very different from the few times I've seen CNN and Fox News videos. They're very different from their written articles in a lot of cases.
Okay.
So I can't speak to that. And I should say, there's plenty of stuff on the Fox News site that is super biased.
Sure.
But here's the thing. I can usually, I have a pretty good record based on the headline.
Yeah.
Because they use obviously biased or opinionated words.
Right.
You know? And the thing is, at Fox News, I can tell. Like, that one's ridiculous. Oh, this one seems pretty straightforward. Oh, yeah, look, it's reporting. And I can also tell on CNN, but it's just all of them on CNN look like that.
Mm.
And in most of the stories I read on Fox News, even in ones where they clearly show, like, we clearly think this is the truth, or we think this is better, they dedicate a chunk of the article to saying pretty clearly what the counter-argument is, without dismissing it or anything like that.
Sure.
Meanwhile, critics of this say blah, 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 blah. And to the degree that now I go there first, I always do them together, because I feel like that balances me out better.
Sure.
I look at them both back-to-back.
Sure.
But I always go to Fox News first, because that ends up having the most stories I'm interested in. And frequently I go to CNN and I'm like, oh, look, that's a clearly slanted version of the story I already read.
Well, do you think it's that CNN is more clickbaity than Fox is?
It, like, could be.
Yeah. Because that's
but
a big problem.
But there's just a lot of, like,
clickbait.
There's a lot of talking in the future in the headlines. Could be a problem here. Yeah, and they do. You're right, because they have things like the one line that might screw up this bill, or, you know, the what's Trump's biggest problem now? Will be like the whole headline.
Yeah, yeah, right.
And
right.
stuff like that. Yeah, and it's really annoying because, yeah, Fox is clearly and rationally saying stuff that I'm just like, yeah, no, I strongly disagree. I find that horrifying. But you're clearly just stating your case.
Right, right.
As opposed to CNN. There's something... See, and that's also why I think the video things are different, because my video experiences with Fox News are there's such condescension and smugness.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's what I get in all of the written CNN stuff. What are we talking about?
I don't know.
Holy shit.
I don't know. We really got off them.
Traditions and rituals.
Oh, so we're talking about storytelling, and so you started talking about news.
But that's the thing. Yeah, it's all stories now. And, like, that's the thing. People say story, and you think, oh, fake or whatever. No. It's a narrative.
Sure.
Which may be a true narrative. Well, it may be a narrative of something that actually occurred.
Yeah.
Truth is difficult. I mean, we're at the point now where people can think they're saying the truth, and we can demonstrably prove they're not.
Yeah.
Like, eyewitness testimony, human memory is imperfect.
That's right.
For a lot of ways and a lot of reasons. I said that backwards. I'm comfortable with that. I'm going to live with it. So you have to look at it all as narrative. And that's there are some things where I'm like, I think I know the facts of this, such as they are. I think I am familiar from other places of this situation. This retelling of it takes the same side I take. I'm not super comfortable with the way they're doing it.
Yeah, right.
I question why they felt the need to go there.
Right, right.
Why they had to say that. And that just comes up constantly. So now I'm just looking at everything in my life, including, I mean, we're using news as example, but just how you tell me about how your day went.
Sure, like, sure, sure.
Like, I don't think you're lying to me, but it's interesting that you this and da da da.
That's right.
Us was probably a weird example because all of our conversation is sort of introspective analysis the whole time. But, you know, this is what I'm saying. Just anything. How was your day? It's weird that they said it that way.
Yeah, exactly.
And I hate being that, especially with the politics, because it's like, yeah, 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 you know, sometimes it's fun to be in the bubble. You sit around, it's like, yeah, we all agree on this thing.
Yeah.
And then someone's like, whoa. Maybe that was too far.
Right.
Like, every goddamn time people make jokes about how Donald Trump's super fat because he eats a lot of KFC. Because there's that one picture, or maybe there's two. Maybe he likes KFC. I don't know. I like KFC. Of all the things I don't like about Donald Trump, I don't give a fuck what he feels about KFC.
Or what he looks like.
Well.
Or what he
and
weighs.
I get caught in that, but you're right. It shouldn't be a thing.
Yeah.
Like, most of our presidents were ugly. Let's not lie.
No, but I just mean, you know, it's like, what does a person's appearance really have to do with it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's kind of a sad thing.
I don't think I want to fuck any of the presidents still living, so that should cover it.
okay.
Something came up just the other day that was a great, like, reminder. I had seen this before, but it had been a while, and it was a good cheer me up. Have you seen the photos of Obama and Baby Pope?
Baby Pope?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, my God. This is from, I don't know where, sometime during his presidency. There's not video, or at least I haven't seen the video, but there's pictures. It's during Halloween.
Okay.
At the White House, they apparently do a thing where they'll hand out candy and you can come. Probably if you have really rich parents or whatever.
Okay.
I don't know. Congressional parents, something. But so they're doing it, and there's the front thing that's decorated with Halloween stuff, and he's there with Michelle. And you look over, and somebody has... It's one of those things that's like part stroller, part toy car.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like a toy car, but then there's a handle sticking out the
sure,
back.
Sure,
and
right.
I think you can take it off when they get older or whatever. And it's white. It's a white car.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a kid in it dressed like the Pope with, like, the super tall hat. Somebody made, like, a cardboard.
Oh.
Like, the hat is, like, almost as tall as this kid. This kid's, like, not even two. And then there's just still photos of Obama seeing it, smiling, cracking up, pointing it to Michelle, going over there to the kid to give him the candy, and laughing so hard he has to be bent over with his elbows on his knees as he's just trying to cope with it again. And he's just so tickled by that. And the kid looks hilarious. Baby Pope is funny.
Did they make the little car look like a Pope-mobile with
no,
glass
it,
or anything?
It was reminiscent of that. That's the thing. And the kid is super clueless. He's not scared or anything, but he's like what he's is that wrong? Dumb vegetable baby face.
Yeah, what's wrong with that
guy? What's going on here? And it was just like it was so inoffensive and just happy and funny. Like, it was like, oh, baby, that's a good thing. I need to get it. Baby Obama baby. With Baby Pope.
Never seen that.
No, 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 Baby Pope. No, 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 no. Oh, my God. In my quest to not always have to tell everybody everything he said on his podcast, there was an article about Batman today that I did not send you.
Oh, wow.
Sometimes I don't send it to you because I feel like it's not interesting.
Okay.
This one was interesting.
Oh. Well, then why didn't you send it to me?
I just thought it would make you feel bad.
Oh, because it was very critical of Batman?
It was six absolutely just fucked up things that they had Batman do in the comics.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not going to make me sad or depressed.
Well, it made me sad, and I don't even like Batman. Because it's some dumb
I probably
shit.
Know about some of them. I probably know.
Well, I'll tell you this one. And I, at first I was like, this isn't fair, but then I'm like, holy fuck, it is too. Like, the number two or three one on there was Frank Miller's Holy Terror. The graphic novel he did that was gonna be Batman, but it was so fucking violent and racist that DC pulled out, and he ended up going with Image and calling him the Holy Terror instead. But he basically is Batman without the ears.
I see.
And it's just the most late term Frank Miller esque thing ever.
What is wrong with that guy?
Really, he's torturing guys that he catches in this and talking about how, hey, Muhammad, sorry, I don't know that that's your name, but it's a pretty likely guess, right? He has Batman saying it's not Batman because they refuse to let him use Batman, but it's Batman. He wrote it to be Batman.
What's wrong with that guy?
I don't know. He broke. But that was I'm reading the article, and they're like, this was written by Frank Miller, and right now half of you are nodding sagely. And I was literally doing it. I was like, oh, God, of course that's in here.
Yeah.
And they were like, yeah, for those of you who don't know, Frank Miller, it's basically, Frank Miller was an amazing comic book writer to which we are all greatly indebted. And then, I think 9/11 basically did it. 9/11 broke Frank Miller more than anyone else. Okay, probably the people that actually died, but
I think it broke Dennis Miller, too. It's a Miller thing,
that's
maybe.
That's true.
Dennis Miller, Frank Miller.
9/11 did break Dennis Miller.
Maybe there's like a genetic thing for Millers. That they get broken more than anybody else. It broke us all in some way, but
I know, but we need to go and find other Millers and see how they're doing.
See how they're doing, yeah. If you know any Millers.
Yes, go to the blog.
Check on them and make sure they're okay.
Are there any Millers that you suspiciously haven't heard from in the last 16 years? Go check on them. Go knock on the door. See how they're doing.
Yeah.
Only if you're white, though. I hate to say it. We shouldn't have to. But to our non-white listeners, just in case, send a white friend over first.
I mean,
first.
Dennis Miller, Frank Miller, we're two for two.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be a trend.
I'm worried. Seriously, we couldn't have caught this earlier.
I know.
Like, at this point, I'm sure all the other Millers out there have already serial killed their way to a better them or whatever.
I don't know if I know any Miller. I mean, I do.
Well, not now.
I did know.
All been locked away.
I did know a person by the name of Miller, but I haven't heard from him for a while. I know. Could be that. I don't know. Anyway, do you know any Millers?
I feel like I do. Wasn't Mike?
Was there a Miller that worked at?
On our team, I think.
No, we didn't have a Miller.
Who was the guy that sat right across from me that wasn't John Tuttle? There was one that was like a hairless John Tuttle.
What?
It's like John Tuttle's a very hairy guy.
Okay.
And then there was like a very clean-shaven version.
There was Edmonds. Dan Edmonds?
Was his name Dan?
He kept his hair, like, I think he even shaved it for a while.
No.
Not him.
This is a Mike.
Did we have a Mike on the team?
Yeah, I think it was Mike.
I don't...
We all just kind of look like generic doughy white guys, so...
I don't remember Mike on the team.
I mean, Kent was just a shorter version of me. And
I don't remember Mike on the
team. I was a fatter version of him.
Nope.
Right. Anyway, if you remember who the fuck we're talking about, Courtney, I guess.
Yeah, maybe Courtney knows.
Go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com, and tell us how much we've offended.
Hairless?
Mike. What do you mean? hairless. I'm just saying compared to John Tuttle.
I don't remember John him being particularly hairy. John Tuttle was a
hairy guy.
I don't remember and that.
All love to John, and as a hairy guy myself. Yeah, no. Tuttle's a bear. I'm a bear. He's a bear. This guy was not a bear. Also,
Sean?
I think Tuttle's straight. Could have been named Sean.
Sean Watson.
No.
Not him.
No.
Ken Gadlick. Ken.
I think that's it. God, I hope he doesn't listen.
I don't remember him being particularly hairless.
Just comparatively, he had a very clean-shaved face, very short
hair. Oh, yeah, he always did have, yes, yeah. That's right. He did have, he always had a clean-shaven face and a short haircut, yes.
I'm just saying, like, for him, other than on his head, which was a very, like, his woolly willy was when you just shook all the filings down, whereas me and Tuttle, you'd have to put some shit up there.
Okay, well.
And yeah, they sat Ken. Very near each other. And again, we're all just sort of
Ken did
shapeless white dudes.
Ken did sit right across from John for a while, so not the whole time.
It was Ken. Think. See, Mike Miller, Ken Cadlick. He's two versions back. At the K, then they had Lenny Lewis or something.
Anyway.
And then Mike Miller.
There was a fellow by the name of Miller who worked upstairs. Mike, maybe. But I don't know whatever happened to him.
Okay, well, this is not fun for anyone anymore. And we're over time, people.
Okay.
I want to eat my supper because it's late. If you want to keep listening, please do. We're sorry. I feel like that should just be the end of every episode. We're sorry. Keep listening. I can't call this hairless John Tuttle, right? That doesn't seem
No,
right.
Probably not.
We'll figure something out.
Okay, good.
All right, good night, Gracie.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.